Hello, and welcome to this session on IAS 7 Management. My name is Seth Wolf. In this session, we'll explore the new features of Internet Information Services version 7, which I'll hereafter refer to as IAS 7. We'll focus on the details of web server management and configuration. We have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. We'll start this session with a look at the new configuration structure of IAS 7 and the meta-based system being replaced with a new XML configuration hierarchy. Then we'll look at the many tools and techniques available in IAS 7 for managing web server configurations. These tools allow you to configure and manage anything from a single website to a large server farm. And finally, we'll look at the new modular concepts included in ASP.NET. We'll discuss how and when to install modules, as well as how to extend IAS 7 using your own modules. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. The next slide provides a brief overview of knowledge that would be helpful but not essential for this session. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. To assist you, we have listed some areas where it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to the session or the reference afterwards. Having a general knowledge of IAS, such as IAS 6, and how to configure a server would be helpful, as we will be discussing the changes in IAS 7 and the new configuration structure. Since we'll be working with command line tools, some knowledge or experience with scripting would be helpful. We will also cover website management and delegation, so any knowledge in that area would also be beneficial. So let's see what's on the agenda for today. We'll start with a review of the IAS 7 configuration system, which has been significantly enhanced to work with a variety of new management tools. Next, we'll show how the deploy applications to other servers and delegate management of websites to other administrators or managers. Finally, we'll discuss how new modules may be added to IAS 7. The new features in IAS 7 are built upon 7 key design goals. The developers had 7 key goals in mind when designing IAS 7. The first of these goals, which had to split the features of IAS into a set of modules. These modules provide a great degree of flexibility when configuring IAS. By using this modular system, you can reduce complexity and save on systems resources by installing only the modules you need. This results in a more efficient use of your web server's resources. This simplified complexity also makes your web server more secure. Integration was a second goal. Management is both simplified and enhanced due to integrating IAS administration, configuration, and operation with other technologies. The development team greatly expanded extensibility in IAS 7. This allows users to add to or replace standard IAS 7 modules or their own managed or native code. Supportability was the next goal. In IAS 7, there are a number of new tools to help monitor and troubleshoot applications. This includes a flexible API, which reports detailed runtime server information, a pre-configurable, triggerable error logging tool, and detailed client browser error messages. A critical design goal was that IAS 7 be very compatible with IAS 6 websites and applications, allowing administrators to easily migrate applications from IAS 6 to IAS 7 without modification. The sixth goal was to add delegation. Delegation makes it possible for administrators to delegate the management of websites or applications to non-administrators. The final goal was increased security. In the development of IIS 6, there was a strong focus on security. As a result, there have been no critical security bulletins or patches required for IIS 6. IIS 7 has been built on the security success story of IIS 6. Now let's take a look at the IIS 7 infrastructure by seeing how it has been improved over previous versions of IIS. Until IIS 7, websites were configured primarily by the metabase. The IIS metabase presented quite a bit of overhead to manage, backup, and troubleshoot. One of the biggest problems with the metabase was that it could only be accessed by administrators. This meant that if a developer or a customer in a hosted environment needed to change a settings as simple as the default document for an application, he either needs to be an administrator or needs to call the administrator to make the change. Another problem facing this depository was not only that it's difficult to manage, but that it's difficult to replicate in server farms. Now, in IIS 7, the metabase has been demoted. It still exists, but it's only used for SMTP and other non-web service settings. It's been largely replaced by a group of XML configuration files that manage website configurations and structures. This new structure allows for a more open and flexible website infrastructure. IIS 7 is built on a hierarchy of distributed XML configuration files. This hierarchy is comprised of a global file called applicationhost.config, which contains server-level configuration settings. There may be a number of distributed web.config files in the application's directory structure. These are the same web.config files that are used by the ASP.NET application framework to store portable application settings. This allows the side-by-side storage of IIS and ASP.NET configurations using clean and strongly structured XML directives. In the past, IIS application settings had to be explicitly configured in the machine-level metabase. With distributed web.config files, applications encapsulate the required server configurations within their directory structure. This dramatically simplifies deployment, allowing self-contained applications to be simply copied to the target server's application directory. There are many legacy applications that were built using the old metabase APIs, such as the ActiveBase Objects, or ABOs, which connect nodes in the metabase to make configuration changes. Administrators and developers should be aware that a new tool has been developed called ABO Mapper, which allows all those applications to keep running by translating the old metabase calls that they will now modify the new configuration system. So let's talk about the configuration structure of IIS 7. There are three main XML files that maintain our server deployments. The first is machine.config, which holds .NET settings for the server. These settings are inherited by all other .NET configuration files. Next is the applicationhost.config file, which contains settings for IIS and its services. The root web.config file holds the global settings for ASP.NET web applications. The configuration reader allows you to read and modify these files using basic XML and text-based manipulation tools. The unmanaged API allows calls into the XML config files. AppCommand.exe is a command line tool for managing IIS 7. It exposes all key server management functionality through a set of intuitive management objects that can be manipulated from the command line or from scripts. The WMI allows administrators to programmatically manage and configure Windows and Windows applications. The new WMI configuration interface can be used to query and configure IIS and directly supports .NET. A managed API is available for writing managed code that enables access to server configurations, as well as manage the state and resources of top-level server objects. Managed modules written for IIS 7 can access their configurations at runtime. Tools built with managed code can access, supervise, and administer the server. The IIS Manager sits on top of the managed API and provides a graphical management tool for monitoring and adjusting web server configurations. The IIS 7 management tool takes advantage of these features. The new graphical IIS Manager makes server administration very simple with its task-based interface. IIS Manager allows you to administer most IIS 7 features and monitor the server's operation. It supports remote administration over a firewall-friendly HTTP SSL connection, with an option to support both Windows-based and other credentials for authentication. In a hosted scenario, hosters can provide customers with the ability to remotely manage their own sites and applications, all without having administrative access to the server. Armed with this capability, customers can run IIS Manager on their desktop and remotely manage their website. In a data center environment, IT can delegate administration for portions of the corporate site to designated departmental site owners. Server administrators, of course, have complete control over what management features are delegated to application owners. Additionally, the administration tool is extensible, allowing custom management modules to be added. Windows PowerShell is the next-generation shell environment and scripting language for Microsoft. You can think of Windows PowerShell as an upgrade to the old command shell. This command-driven management tool offers a way of managing many aspects of Windows and is backwards compatible with existing scripting solutions. We'll see later on how it can be used to manage many components of Windows Server 2008, including IIS 7. AppCommand.exe is a command line tool for managing IIS 7. It exposes all key server management functionality to a set of intuitive objects that can be manipulated from the command line or a script. AppCommand enables you to easily control the server without using the GUI IIS Manager, and to automate server management tasks like creating sites or virtual directories without writing complex code. AppCommand is built on top of a set of server management objects that can be inspected and manipulated. AppCommand also allows administrators to build advanced management tasks simply by combining multiple commands or by reusing the output inside another program. Data center and web host administrators can completely automate the provisioning of new accounts using these scriptable command line tools. The XML config files may be directly edited using a text editor such as Notepad. After modifying these XML formatted plain text files, the IIS system will read the files and then make the appropriate changes to the system configuration. Let's see the power and versatility of IIS Manager. The IIS Manager for IIS 7 features a completely redesigned user interface. It integrates the configuration of settings across all the IIS configuration files, ASP.NET configuration files, and .NET configuration files from one interface. From this interface, you can install and remove IIS features by adding or removing modules, and control the delegation of features to non-administrator users. In addition to managing IIS on the local computer, IIS Manager can be used to manage remote servers, sites, and applications. The primary administrator can add IIS Manager user accounts to allow remote users to connect to any site or applications for which they have permission. IIS Manager is also extensible. New functionality can be added automatically and by using scripts. IIS Manager enables delegated management, letting application owners manage their own applications remotely without having administrative access to the server computer. Armed with this capability, users of hosted services can run the application tool on their own desktop computer and connect remotely to manage their application on the hosted web server. IIS Manager also has a main control panel for each object that gives common access to all the features that can be configured within that object. This control panel is extensible, and third-party developers can register their own features so that they are fully integrated. Let's look at our demonstration environment. Our demo environment consists of one web server. Let's move on to our first demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll take a tour of the new IIS Manager for IIS 7, and then we'll use it to add a couple of new websites to the server. In this demonstration, we'll see how easy it is to use the new IIS Manager to add websites to a server. Before we launch the IIS Manager, we'll use Windows Explorer to take a quick look at our website files. The site in the www root folder will be our default website. It has several folders and uses the file iisstart.htm for its default document. Our second website also uses iisstart.htm as its default document. Now let's launch IIS Manager. This comprehensive web server management tool is the centerpiece for managing IIS 7 servers, websites, and applications. The IIS Manager Start page offers a number of useful features, resources, and tools. The large section at the bottom is devoted to IIS News. It would be fully operational if our server was properly connected to the Internet. The top right section of the IIS Manager Start page lists a number of links to websites that administrators may find useful for obtaining additional information about web server management. The middle pane lists a number of tasks to assist administrators in connecting to remote servers, websites, and applications. IIS Manager has a more scalable model for managing settings. When viewing sites and servers, the resulting feature list view resembles the control panel. No websites have been configured for the server yet, so the sites list is empty. Adding a new website is very easy. All the necessary basic options are right here on the Add Website dialog box. The first step is naming the new site. We'll call our default website Contoso. As we saw earlier, the files for our primary website are stored in the folder www.root. And since this site is using standard HTTP port binding, we use the main HTTP port, port 80. That's all there is to it. Now our website is added to the list of sites installed on the server. The IIS management tools can be sorted, grouped, and viewed in different ways, making it easy to find what you're looking for. IIS Manager navigation has taken on a more browser-like feel, with an address bar similar to Windows Explorer. One of the primary settings for a website is the default document list. The default website document list is standard, but it's very easy to modify. Here is the iasstart.htm file. IIS7 is a modular system, providing a means to customize which components are installed and how they are configured. If we want, we can disable the default document option. This may provide an increased level of security for this site. Let's re-enable the default document settings and take a look at the directory browsing options. This option is often disabled for more control and security. IIS7 offers a great deal of flexibility in configuring website browser error messages. You can easily view and modify the default error messages and files as you wish. This is the file that the server displays when a browser request produces a 404 or file not found error. You can further customize the error page options by selecting to display a file that is relative to the site root or an absolute URL location. Other useful features of IIS7 are the new detailed error pages, which allows for detailed information to be sent back to the browser. Instead of seeing a terse error code, you'll now see detailed information about the request, what potential issues may have caused the error, and tips on how to fix it. By default, these pages are displayed for local requests only, but they can be completely suppressed for increased security. Alternately, they can be set to be displayed for all users. This might be done during the website development process as an aid to any remotely located developers. It's very easy to modify and customize the website authentication method and process. Most websites use anonymous authentication for website requests. Website logging is an important tool for tracking usage and improving search engine optimization. It's easy to change the format, directory, and encoding for your website logs. Keeping track of your log files is also critical, so they don't overwhelm your disk capacity. At the bottom of the Details pane, there are many options to manage web log file sizes. A convenient feature of the IIS Manager is the Browse link, found in the Actions pane. Clicking the Browse website link will launch your default web browser and load the selected website. Our default website is very basic and loads perfectly. Let's minimize Internet Explorer so we can continue working with IIS Manager. Creating a secure website is very easy in IIS 7. First, let's go over to the Server Certificate settings. This certificate is set up for the Windows Management Services, and it's used for remote administration. So we'll create a new certificate for our website. Let's quickly create a self-signed SSL certificate. All we need to do is enter a friendly name for our certificate. Let's call it Demo Certificate. That's all there is to it. You can see our new self-signed SSL certificate listed in the Server Certificates list. Now let's add our second website. We'll use the physical path that we looked at earlier. We'll give our new site the name SecureSite and configure it to use the second site folder for its physical path. Because this will be a secure website, the binding type will use HTTPS. After selecting the HTTPS binding type, the dialog box automatically changes the port number to the standard HTTP SSL port of 443. Let's finish by adding our demo certificate to this website. The sites list now shows the two websites that we just created. The Advanced Settings dialog box offers you the ability to change a number of things for your website, such as connection timeout and failed request tracing. Let's go back to our secure site. We use the same browse link to restore our Internet Explorer window, and we'll load this new website into a second tab on the browser. However, this browser is configured for high security and presents a warning that the self-signed demo certificate does not match the website's URL. We'll bypass the browser's recommended and continue to load the website. The website loads fine, but it's still presenting us with a warning about the certificate error. In a real-world scenario, it would be a good idea to examine the certificate. When we view the certificate, we see that it was issued to our demo server. Let's switch back to IIS Manager and examine some of the SSL settings that are available. As an option, we can have this website require a client certificate from the browser. Because this browser does not have a client certificate configured for it, we are now unable to view the web page. Notice the amount of information offered by the detailed browser error messages. These error messages are a great debugging tool for developing and testing new websites. Let's return to our slide presentation and continue on to the next topic. Now let's take a closer look at appcommand. Appcommand.exe is the main command line tool for managing IIS 7. This is done through a set of managed objects that can be manipulated from the command line or from scripts. Appcommand enables you to easily control the server without using the IIS manager, and to quickly automate server management tasks without writing complex code. It has a familiar syntax using command object and parameter value. The command line, appcommand list requests, show all requests waiting in the pipeline. Another useful command line is appcommand list sites, which lists websites and provides information about each site on your server. You can also use the add command to create new objects with specific properties. You can also delete an object and set parameters on an object. When using appcommand to list sites or requests, it is often desirable to filter the listing to see only the information you are interested in. The appcommand allows you to filter its output on application pools, worker processes, and sites. You will find filtering especially useful on busy web servers that host many websites. In addition to sites and requests, other useful command line objects include app, which is used to administer the applications, config, which is used to administer the general configuration settings, backup, which is used to manage server configuration backups, and trace, which is used to manage server trace logs. Let's take a look at the new PowerShell tool. PowerShell, based on the .NET framework platform, provides a powerful object model command line environment. its object-oriented data handling can be acted upon and processed by other commands with little or no manipulation. PowerShell is an extremely useful tool for many server tasks like managing services, processes, the registry, the event logs, and the WMI, all through a simple command line to script. As a WMI interface provider, scripting in PowerShell can significantly shorten the amount of time required to do repetitive maintenance and management. PowerShell can retrieve a variety of WMI information from machines and can incorporate that information into scripts or reports. You can pipe the output from one command as the input into another command. This lets you easily perform bulk operations which supply the objects to be modified to commands down the pipe. This feature can reduce dozens of lines of code to a single chain of commands. Transparent access to the commands is available through the command prompt. You can even take the output of cmd.exe commands and perform actions based on its output, or integrate the output into another command. As an option, all scripts may be required to be digitally signed before they are allowed to run. This requirement prevents malicious parties from inserting a harmful script into PowerShell. Only scripts that you specifically trust are allowed to run, helping to protect your network and server. Let's check out some of these tools in action. In this demonstration, we'll use the PowerShell, the new app command, and simple file manipulation to manage the configuration and settings of IIS 7. Windows PowerShell is Microsoft's next-generation shell environment and scripting language. This command-driven management tool offers a way of managing many aspects of Windows Server 2008 and its many roles and applications. It can be used for many server management tasks. Here we are using the get service command, the getting list of all the services on the server. Without any modifiers, the get services command displays a long list, making it difficult to find the information you need. We can include the switch to display only services starting with W, and then pipe the results to sort the list by current running status. Now we can clearly see the many services related to IIS and see if they are running or stopped. Once a list of services has been obtained, you can easily use the PowerShell command to stop any service. The stop service command, like many commands, will make a significant change to a live server. The what if option is available to check the action of any command line. The what if option will describe the action of any command without performing the action itself. Now that we are satisfied with the outcome, we'll use the stop service command to stop the web server. If we execute the get service command again, we'll see that the W3SVC has been stopped. Like the get service command, the get process command can be used to obtain a list of the currently running server processes. In this command line, we are sorting the results by the total number of handles. It may be useful to redirect the output of a get command to a file for offline viewing, printing, or archiving. However, we're going to use the convert to preprocessor to convert the output to HTML before sending it to a file. Now we can use Internet Explorer to view the results of the get process command line. This detailed report lists all the currently running processes, their names, the number of handles, their paths, and lots more information, all formatted as a convenient HTML page. While PowerShell has been expanded to manage many Windows Server roles, like Exchange 2007, it still has not been fully integrated with the IIS 7 APIs. However, it's still possible to load the Microsoft Web Administration DLL and use it to perform some basic tasks. You have to configure PowerShell to load the Microsoft Web Administration DLL. When the assembly is loaded from the DLL, you can use PowerShell's new object command to create the Server Manager object that is defined in Microsoft Web Administration. This doesn't give you much, except the list of properties the Server Manager exposes. To get more detail, you need to use the sites method of the Server Manager object to get the information you want. The Server Manager provides access to all the sites on your machine through a site collection object. This site collection is made available through the sites property of the Server Manager. This will produce a list of all the sites and their associated property names and values. We could also use the select object and PowerShell syntax to query the list into a table format. Now let's use PowerShell to manage application pools. We can fit several commands on one line by using a semicolon. The following command line is actually four different operations: storing the application pool collection into a variable, displaying the name and runtime status of the first application pool, stopping the first application pool, then displaying the name and status again. Many of these tasks can be performed using different tools, including the new app command tool. However, by using PowerShell, we can adjust features like formatting to our output data to our liking. Also, developers might find it easier to use the API syntax that they're rarely familiar with. Furthermore, PowerShell allows us to use the WMI alongside our managed code calls, and unlike app command, you can extend PowerShell and commandlets. PowerShell gives you the ability to easily manage multiple servers from one command prompt on the machine. Let's take a close look at our next tool, appcommand. Appcommand.exe is a command line tool for managing IIS 7. It exposes all key server management functionality through a set of intuitive objects that can be manipulated from the command line or a script. Appcommand enables you to automate server management tasks like creating sites or virtual directories without writing complex code or using the IIS manager. This shortcut opens up the command prompt window in the inetserv directory, which is where the appcommand.exe file is located by default. Typing appcommand without any arguments will display a detailed list of objects, commands, and parameters. Appcommand module provides for administration of server modules. The /?? Switch will display detailed help about the supported commands. App Command List module will display all the modules currently installed on the server. The Backup object provides a flexible means to manage backups of critical IIS7 server XML config files. If we list the backups, we don't see that we have any backups currently available on the server. It's easy to add new backups to the archive. I'll call this one First Backup. Now, if we go ahead and list the currently available backups, we'll see that this one has been added. Now, let's switch over to Windows Explorer. We'll navigate to where the inetserv folder in the Windows System 32 folder. The backups are conveniently stored in the Backup folder under the inetserv. Here is the backup that we just created. Now let's try something new. Let's create a folder for a new website using Windows Explorer. We'll call this folder Third Site and leave it empty for now. The Site object allows us to easily perform some useful tasks, like listing virtual websites and adding new virtual websites. Let's use App Command List Site to see a list of all our current virtual websites. The Add command is designed to create a new instance of an object. Now let's use the Add Site command to add a third website. We'll use the same name as the folder, Third Site, give it ID number 3, and bind it to HTTP port 8080. Now we see the new website in the list when we use App Command List Site. Notice that the status of all three websites is currently listed as unknown. If you recall, we previously stopped the World Wide Web Publishing Service with the PowerShell command stop service. Let's restart the service using the IIS reset command. Commands like this can be used along with the app command in scripts and batch files to create complex procedures and tasks. We also stopped the default application pool with Windows PowerShell. The web server will not be fully functional until we start the default application pool. Let's use App Command to restart the default application pool. Now, if we switch over to the IIS Manager and use it to view our currently deployed sites, we'll see our new third site listed, along with its ID number, port number, and physical path. Also notice that the status for all the websites is listed as started. Let's move on and test our new website. We'll use the Browse link in the Actions pane, which will open up Internet Explorer with the correct URL for looking at the site. However, upon opening up our website, we get an error message indicating that we have not configured content browsing for that site or folder. Let's switch over to Windows Explorer and see if we can resolve this problem. We'll navigate over to our primary web server and then look at the Images folder. Let's open up the web.config file in the Images folder. You'll see that the web.config for the Images folder has directory browsing disabled. There's another file in the Images folder. It's just a short HTML format file that displays an image and simple text message in the web browser. Now we grab the hello.htm and web.config files using the Control key. Then we'll copy them and paste copies of the two files into the folder for our new website, Third Sight. With the new files in place, let's open up the web.config file using Notepad. We can directly edit the XML-based web.config file using any text editor. We'll use Notepad to change the directory browse entry from false to true. Then we'll save our changes. The IIS configuration reader immediately reads the new web.config file, takes note of the changed settings for directory browsing, and immediately puts those new settings in place. Then, if we switch over to Internet Explorer and refresh the page, we are immediately able to successfully browse the directory contents. Notice the hello.htm and web.config files listed here. Let's switch back and load the web.config file into Notepad again. This time, we'll change some of the data for the default documents. We'll switch the primary default document from the standard index.html to our new default file, hello.htm. Let's save the changes to the web.config file. Now let's return to our web browser and reload the page. This time, instead of displaying a list of the files in the folder, it successfully loads the default document, hello.htm. Let's return to the presentation. Let's go on to the next agenda item, managing delegation and deployment. Now let's take a look at the various tools and techniques for managing delegation and server deployment. We'll start with a look at deploying data centers. IIS 6 introduced the lockdown by default approach. The next step in IIS 7 is the minimum install by default approach. IIS 7 is a completely modular web server, and so only the bare minimum number of components may be installed and enabled by default. This has several key benefits. Fewer components installed means lower potential surface area available to attackers, less to manage, patch, or maintain, and fewer components loaded in memory means increased performance, scalability, and reliability. If you need to deploy many sites quickly, IIS 7 gives you the ability to use Xcopy to move IIS configurations along with content to remote servers. You can copy an application host.config or web.config file, depending on whether you want to apply the configuration at the server, site, or application levels. In previous versions of IIS, you couldn't copy the metabase.xml from one server to another because the accounts wouldn't have the same name. The IIS team has improved this by the use of a built-in account and group in IIS 7. A built-in account and group are guaranteed by the operating system to always have a unique SID. IIS has taken this even further and ensured the actual names used by the new accounts and groups will never be localized. For example, regardless of the language of Windows you install, the IIS account name will always be IUSR and the group name will be IISIUSRS. So now you can use a command like xcopy to move the configuration files from one server or site to another. Hosting 2, 10, hundreds, or even thousands of websites on a single machine is a big challenge. Hosters usually struggle with quality of service, site density, security, and performance problems. Every hoster manages shared hosting on IIS differently. Some hosters put all their sites in a few application pools. Some put every site into a separate application pool. Some use NAS devices for their content. Some only support local content. And some hosters have different accounts for application pools. IIS 7 has been tested with up to 5,000 sites, with every site getting its own application pool. Windows domain accounts are used, so there's no need for multiple accounts. The application pool account, the anonymous account, and the account connecting to the remote share are all the same. Now we'll see an overview of delegating permissions. Delegating permissions means the ability of IIS server administrators to allow non-administrators the power to change the configuration settings of sites that they manage. This means that you can give developers and website managers control over the settings for their own sites or applications. In IIS 7, you can configure delegation settings at the web server, website, and web application levels. Often, data centers will need to delegate authority to a branch website. When you delegate a feature at the web server level, you allow all website administrators in IIS Manager to configure sites. To allow customers to create their own applications, the web hoster will need to delegate down to the application level. When you delegate a feature at the website level, you allow all web application administrators within that site to configure that feature. In IIS 7, permissions can be easily delegated to non-admins. Permissions on the web.config file determine who could administer each site. The primary server administrator continues to set the global configuration settings for the web server, sites, and applications, but can now selectively allow non-administrators the ability to change certain aspects of their sites and applications. When you are delegating settings, IIS 7 allows you to finally control which sections can be changed and in what way. This significantly reduces the administration overhead and gives the site or application manager the ability to directly change settings that they are responsible for. This might include such things as enabling directory browsing, setting the default website documents, or building custom web-based SMTP settings. After delegation is deployed, website managers are able to configure their own website using the web.config files in the root directories of each site or application. A key advantage of this integrated local configuration is that it streamlines the ability for developers to distribute their application. Because the config file resides in the same folder as the application, it's easy to package it up for deployment. Then the site can be distributed and installed fully configured. With permission delegation, there are many options for web hosting customers and website managers. Customers and managers can directly edit their website's web.config file or use a browser-based tool developed by the web host. Additionally, IIS Manager can be used remotely to manage remote servers, sites, and applications. Server administrators can use the remote administration feature of IIS Manager to add user accounts and to allow those users to connect to any sites or applications for which they have permission. After management service has been installed on the server, customers and managers can run IIS Manager on their remote computers to manage their own websites, all through a secure firewalled system. Next, we'll see how configurations are inherited and locked. Configurations and settings are inherited down from the machine.config to the root web.config to the application host.config, and finally, to any website, applications, or folders. However, configuration settings set at the lower level can override configuration settings defined at higher levels in the configuration hierarchy. Administrators would probably want to lock down certain configuration settings so that they cannot be changed. Most of the IIS web service sections are locked down, but not all. Most of the .NET framework sections are not locked down because they are considered application-level settings. If you need to prevent sites from making changes, you can lock configuration settings by adding an override mode attribute to a section and then setting that value to deny. You can use the attribute override mode default to specify the default lockdown state of the section. If you set override mode default to deny, then lower web.config files cannot override that setting. This prevents a website manager from overriding critical server configuration settings. This will be most useful in hosted and data center sites, where the server is managed by one group, but the sites are managed by others. Next, we'll demonstrate how to delegate permissions in IIS 7. In this demonstration, we'll use the new configuration files to create a new site and to control how settings are delegated to that site. Before starting on the next section, let's make a backup of our config files using app command. As an administrator, you may not wish developers or site administrators to be able to change settings, especially if they are not experienced. The new configuration system provides you with the ability to control which sections developers can modify in their web.config files. Now we'll scroll down to the config sections of the application host.config file. This is where you register sections. We'll move down to the default document section. It has an attribute called override mode default. Currently, this attribute is set to allow. The override mode default attribute lets you configure whether site developers are able to put this section in their web.config file and override the default settings. In IIS 7, any feature that is not critical for security, reliability, or performance has override mode set to allow by default. This lets site developers configure many settings themselves without having to contact the server administrator. Conversely, any sections that are critical, for example security, application dependencies, and anonymous authentication, are by default set to deny. So what happens if a developer attempts to change a security setting in their website's web.config file? Let's attempt to change the anonymous authentication settings for our default website by modifying the web.config file. To do this, we'll add a security section. The webconfig security file already has the settings configured. This file has an authentication container, an anonymous authentication element, and its enabled attribute is set to false in an attempt to turn off anonymous authentication. We'll add these security authentication settings to the Contoso website's web.config file. We'll save the web.config file, but keep it open because we'll return to it later on. If we try to view the site in our browser, it returns an internal server error. The reason is that this configuration setting cannot be used by anyone other than the server administrator. Therefore, developers and site owners may attempt to change some of these properties in their web.config files, but they will not be able to unless the server administrator permits them to do so. This web.config file attempts to disable anonymous authentication. However, because the setting in application-host.config does not allow us to override this particular feature in our web.config file, browsing to this site returns an internal server error. To solve this problem, we'll return to application-host.config and find the anonymous authentication section. Then we'll change the override mode default attribute from deny to allow. Now we get a different error from before. This error tells us that our web.config file has been allowed to override the anonymous authentication setting in the application-host.config file. However, there is still an error because we have not configured another authentication mechanism. This is sufficient for now, as it shows that we can override this setting. The problem with modifying the application-host.config in this way is that we have allowed anyone to override the setting in his or her web.config files. Often, you would not want everyone to be able to override a setting, such as anonymous authentication, but only specific sites. We can limit the modification of settings to specific sites. First, let's check return the override mode setting to its default value of deny and check that it's taken effect in our browser. Now, if you wish to limit the option to change the anonymous authentication setting to only the Contoso site, you can do so by adding a location section at the end of your application-host.config file. The application host security file has the custom security settings entered. There is a location tag setting the path attribute to point to the Contoso site. There is a system.web service section group, and into this, a security section. In the security section, we have an authentication section, and finally, we have an anonymous authentication setting. The anonymous authentication enabled attribute is set to false. We'll add the security authentication setting to the web service application-host.config file. We'll save the application-host.config file, but keep it open because we'll return to it later on. Next, we review the results by pressing refresh and the web browser. This displays an error, indicating that the settings have been applied and that anonymous authentication is disabled for this site. All that we need now is for the site administrator to do some further work to configure another authentication mechanism. If we were to attempt to override the setting in another site's web.config file, we would get an error, as we have only allowed this to be overridden in the Contoso website. Now, if we want to permit site owners to change whatever anonymous authentication settings they wish to, but at the same time not be able to turn off anonymous authentication, we can do this by using the lock attributes attribute. By enabling lock attributes, we are saying that the site owner can change anonymous authentication settings, but he or she cannot disable the feature. Therefore, when we click the browser refresh button, we now get a config error lock violation. Even if the site owner modifies their web.config file so that the anonymous authentication enabled attribute is set to true, they will still get a lock violation error. Therefore, you cannot even define the value in your configuration file if the administrator has locked it at a higher level in the configuration hierarchy. Now let's remove the granular locking that we previously set in our application host.config file. This will allow the website's web.config attribute to be activated, taking precedence over the attribute set in the web server's application host.config. Now, when we return to the web browser and refresh the page, we see that the anonymous authentication has been allowed and the page loads correctly. Let's remove the security section from our web.config file to bring the site back to a working state ready for the next demonstration. Before finishing up here, let's use app command to restore our config files and return our website to its previous functionality. The next agenda covers managing and installing modules. In addition, custom modules may be developed. Now we'll talk about modules. Modules are how you can get functionality out of IIS7. To add a module to a server, you will perform two steps. First, install a module on the server to register the module globally with the server, making it available within each server worker process. This is necessary only for native modules due to the trusted nature of native code and is available to administrators only. Second, enable the module in an application. This allows the application administrator to control the server features enabled for the application. This step allows both installed native modules and manage modules to be enabled for each application. A manage module does not require installation and can be enabled directly for each application. This allows applications to include their manage modules directly within the application by registering them in the application's web.config file. You can enable a module by manually editing the config file, either globally to enable the module for all applications or in a particular web.config file for a single application. When you install your server, you have 40 different modules to choose from. You should only install the modules that you need. For example, if you don't intend to use CGI on your server, then you don't need to install the CGI module. Because you don't install this module, you get a number of benefits. First, you reduce your attack surface, making it harder for hackers. Second, you reduce the functionality that's on your server, reducing the memory footprint of your worker processes, and you improve its performance. Most importantly, you have greater control over what you want your server to do. Because all functionality is modularized, and because there is a public API, you can replace core server modules with custom modules. Custom modules can provide the functionality that suits exactly what you need. Let's see a demonstration of managing and using modules. In this demonstration, we'll look at the various ways that IIS7 uses modularity to maintain a minimal deployment surface and to use customized managed modules to allow for enhancements and customizations. The default base installation of IIS7 does not include ASP.NET. Unlike IIS6, you cannot enable ASP.NET as a web service extension. Instead, in IIS7, you must install the ASP.NET modules. As with most IIS7 web servers, we have gone ahead and installed ASP.NET. We also installed ASP. By default, IIS is only installed with anonymous authentication. If you want to use other authentication methods, such as basic authentication or Windows authentication, then you must add them to your installation. If you have any applications running under IIS 6 that you wish to migrate to IIS 7, then you are likely to need to install the IIS 6 Management Compatibility Module. If your applications use ADSI to customize or update your server, then you need the IIS Metabase Compatibility Module. With this module, your ADSI scripts will continue to run on IIS 7 as though they were running on IIS 6. If you have WMI scripts, then you will need to install the IIS 6 WMI Compatibility Module. Another thing to note here is that with IIS 6, by default, you could remotely manage another server using the IIS Management Console. However, with IIS 7, you must install remoting by selecting the IIS Management Service. The IIS Management Service handles remoting for the management user interface. We have also enabled some of the features that allow you to troubleshoot problems with websites and applications on your IIS server. Of particular interest is the tracing feature, which allows you to gather information on failed requests to help you determine why they failed. When installing IIS 7, you will need to pay attention to the IIS 6 compatibility modules. Now we'll switch over to IIS Manager. With IIS 7, you can completely customize your server deployment and only need to install whatever modules are required. We'll use the convenient Browse Website option in the Actions pane to load this website into our browser. Our website loaded with the default page and default image displayed as expected. Let's switch over to IIS Manager and take a look at the modules that have been set up for the server. there are many modules currently installed on this IIS 7 server. There are modules that are native to IIS 7 system and additional managed modules for greater customization. The default document module provides IIS 7 with the functionality of offering up one or more default document files to web browsers. You can set the group of preferred documents in the XML config files. But this module must be installed in order for that functionality to be operational. If we open up the dialog box to edit the module's registration, we can easily see that the defdoc.dll file that manages that process. Now let's remove that module from IIS 7. Most server administrators would probably want to keep that module as part of the IIS 7 configuration. However, if an administrator wanted website users to always specify the requested file name, removing that module would provide that functionality and provide increased security. To completely remove that module from this IIS installation, we need to remove the entry from the global module section that maintains the link to the default document defdoc.dll. We also need to remove the reference to the default document module in the handler's access policy. When we switch over to Internet Explorer and refresh that page, we see that our default web page is no longer being loaded, and instead we are presented with a simple directory listing. We can increase security even further by removing the directory listing module from our IIS 7 configuration. Many administrators might want to consider this option, which will further secure websites from prying eyes. In order to completely remove that module from IIS, we need to remove the directory listing module from the global modules section that maintains the link to the DIR list DLL. We also need to remove the reference to the directory listing module in the handler's access policy. Now, when we switch over to Internet Explorer and refresh the web page, it no longer displays the directory listing. Even though the default document and directory listing modules are removed, the web server is still fully functional. If we add the name of the default file, the page loads as it did before. Before finishing up here, let's use app command to restore our config files. This will add the directory listing module and default document module back into place. Doing so returns our website to previous functionality. Now we're going to see how to install a managed module. Now let's take a close look at how to build and install a custom module. This website provides an insight into how easy it is to customize and expand IIS 7. This website will install a managed module which logs HTTP requests to a log file. The default file for this website is just a simple ASPX page with a bit of formatting and structure. The web.config file provides details on how this application is configured and how the custom module is installed. There are many settings that are declared in this web.config file. Remember, in IIS 7, websites are very portable, with the web.config file maintaining most of the settings for the website. Here we are confirming that the detailed custom error messages are only returned for local requests, with the standard custom error pages returned for remote requests. With a compilation debug tag, we set the application to compile in debug mode. In a production environment, you would typically set this to false. But since we are still testing our code, we'll keep compilation debugging turned on. With the modules and the add name tags, we load our logger module. Our HTTP logger is written as a C# program. Let's take a look at the code. We'll open the C# code in Notepad. This line shows the code that writes out the text to the log file. If you examine this line, you'll see that it writes out the date, time, and the requested URL. On this line, the log file name and locations are defined. The logger is stored as a text file, with a numerical name made up from the current date, and it's stored in the logs folder. Now let's return to IIS Manager and add this website to our server. This is an easy process. Start by clicking the Add Website link. Let's enter the name Logging module for the site, and then configure the site to use the files in the logging module folder. Port 80 is the standard port for HTTP requests. Since we have multiple sites already installed on the server, we'll pick one of the extended HTTP ports. Let's use 8181 for this website. Now that the website has been successfully added, we can take a look at the new custom module configured for this site. Over on the bottom of our list is a new custom module. You'll see the module name, the file name for the module source code, and you'd see that the module is local to this website. We can use the Edit Managed Module dialog box to change any of the settings for this module. Now that the website has been defined, we can load the default web page into a browser using the Browse link on the Actions pane. We get this error because the log folder is not fully configured with the necessary user rights. This folder needs to be configured with the full rights to allow users the ability to create and modify the log files in this folder. Internet Explorer now correctly loads our default web page. Let's click this link. It will load the second website page, which is a static HTML formatted page. Let's minimize these pages and then restore Windows Explorer. Now let's take a look at the log files. The log file offers a lot of detailed information. The first line was logged when Internet Explorer made the initial browse request, seeking the default document for the website. The next line was logged after the server found and offered the file default.aspx as the default document for the site. The next line in the log file was logged when we clicked on the second page for the website. That just about wraps up the session. Let's review what we've covered so far. IIS 7 is maintained by a new hierarchical collection of XML config files, which has replaced the metabase used in previous versions of IIS. This new file structure greatly improves manageability, portability, and server deployment. There are many new tools and techniques available for managing IIS 7, including an enhanced GUI management console, the new Windows PowerShell, and even direct text file editing. Most notable is a new app command, which allows you to perform nearly all server management tasks directly from the command line, providing both simplified management and complex scripting capabilities. System administrators can easily delegate aspects of web server management to non-administrators, such as website managers or application developers. This detailed fine-grained delegation improves security and allows web hosters a great deal of flexibility in allowing their clients to manage their own websites. Do you need to know more about IIS 7 and its supporting technologies? For the most comprehensive technical information about Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/ITE-302 for more information about books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available for Microsoft. These include a number of books that can help you better understand performance tuning of your web hosting solutions. One of these is Inside Microsoft SQL Server 2005, Query Tuning and Optimization. Understanding the internals of SQL Server helps database developers and administrators to better create, access, and effectively process information from enterprise data. Written by experts on SQL Server, this volume from Inside Microsoft SQL Server series of books focuses on query tuning and optimization. You'll take an in-depth look at the best ways to make queries more efficient and effective while maximizing existing resources. The shift from standalone desktop applications to web-enabled applications that accommodate hundreds of thousands of simultaneous users makes performing testing critical. Find out how to make your Microsoft.NET-based application perform as well as or better than traditional desktop applications with this book, Performance Testing Microsoft.NET Web Applications, written by the Microsoft team that tests and tunes hundreds of websites and web-based applications. Get a jump on evaluating Windows Server 2008. with technical insights from the Windows Server team in introducing Windows Server 2008. This practical introduction delivers real-world implementation scenarios and pragmatic advice for administering Windows Server in the enterprise. There are also a number of good books from other publishers. Professional IIS 7, published by ROX, is a complete reference to IIS 7, both for developers and administrators. In addition to covering the common administrative tasks, this book will take an in-depth look at IIS 7 extensibility and operations management. IIS 7 Implementation and Administration, published by Cybex, is designed to ease the learning curve for experienced system administrators and IT professionals, helping them work with developers using the new tools of IIS 7. It concentrates on the crucial skills needed to get up and running quickly using the new product. This book begins by explaining the new interface and basic IIS configuration, and then moves on to ASP.NET configuration. Readers will come to understand the new security model and learn how to work with developers to improve application performance. How to Cheat at IIS 7 Server Administration, published by Syngress, will help administrators migrating from IIS 6 to get up to speed fast on the new version. IIS 7 is the perfect product for the How to Cheat series. How to Cheat promises to help you get IIS 7 up and running as quickly as possible. Professional IIS 7 and ASP.NET 2.0 Integrated Programming, published by ROX, explores the deep integration of the ASP.NET 2.0 with IIS 7. It provides ASP.NET 2.0 developers with new, exciting programming tools, techniques, and approaches that were not available before. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, which includes e-learning, MS Pressbooks, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. This curriculum is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implement solutions using Microsoft product and technologies. The course that best supports this session is 6045, which covers administering IIS 7 web servers and is available as an online course. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which has links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft Learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with a basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP. You can become a fully certified System Administrator, MCSA, or System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. The new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, MCITP, credentials provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you may find interesting. To help explain this further, here's Ian Brackenberry, TechNet Subscription Product Manager.
TechNet Plus is an essential, premium, web-enabled, and live support resource that provides IT professionals with fast and easy access to Microsoft experts, software, and technical information, enhancing IT productivity, control, and planning. With convenient access to all these resources in one online location, TechNet Plus provides you with what you need to help you evaluate products and learn new skills, plan for and deploy new technologies, and support and maintain your IT environment. For evaluation and learning, you get access to all Microsoft full version software for evaluation without time limits. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, you can make informed decisions about new technologies at your own pace. You also receive access to the latest betas before public release. Be the first to try out the latest pre-release versions of Microsoft operating systems, servers, and business applications. TechNet Plus also offers quarterly training resources, including select Microsoft e-learning courses for free, so you can keep your skills current, prepare for a certification exam, or get ready for a specific project. For planning and deployment, the TechNet Library includes resources to help you plan for and deploy new technologies in your IT environment, including a complete knowledge base, resource kits, utilities, and technical training. You also get exclusive tools like System Center Capacity Planner to accurately plan for and deploy Exchange Server and System Center Operations Manager. And to stay informed, your subscription also includes a free subscription to TechNet Magazine, the Microsoft Journal for IT professionals. For support and maintenance, TechNet Plus comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. You can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve your mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. You can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to your technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. You also get access to TechNet Library resources to help you support and maintain your IT environment, including security updates and service packs. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation software and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. For more information or to purchase a TechNet Plus subscription, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions.